here. And the first part is our Sunday morning part. We meet in the back on during the second service. This confirmation program is for 7th and 8th graders. It's 2 years long. We do a year of the Old Testament, and then we do a year of the New Testament, and it just goes back and forth. So you might start with the New Testament, then the Old, or the Old Testament, then the New. And that piece is super important to us. We have a journal that the students do. They probably hate it. And we just keep telling God's story, the stories of the Bible, of who God is, how we understand God as presented in the Bible. And that piece of it's really important to us because that's we just base that on the truth. And I just keep thinking about that in our culture right now. There's a lot of different truths, and there's really only one truth. You can believe whatever you want, but just because you believe something doesn't mean it's true. And I was thinking about that, and I actually asked John's permission. My husband John's adopted, and for years and years he thought about his birth mom. And we knew her name? No, we didn't. No, we just knew she had brown hair, shiny brown hair. That was the extent of it, and about how old she was. And so then you just kind of make up stuff. Oh, what would someone with shiny brown hair be like? And we had all kinds of these ideas of what she might have been like. And but they weren't necessarily not true, but they certainly weren't true. They weren't about her. They were just about this idea that we had about her. And we do that with God all the time. You know, we have ideas about God, but they may or may not be what God might go, hello, that's not me. John's birth mom would be like, nice idea, but that's not me. And we met her. We got her name, and then we found out a little bit more about her, where she was from, her history. We started learning truths about who she was. And then we met her, and then we had this huge picture of what she was like. And it wasn't anything like we had imagined. And I want our students to know the truth of who God is and not be basing things about who God is on things they're imagining. The truth is so important. It needs to be based out of the Bible. So that's a big piece of us. Another part is our mentor program. Our eighth graders each have a mentor, and you'll see when they come up, there'll be a teacher sitting on one side and a mentor on the other. The mentors love them, help them to see God. And the third thing that's super important for our program is this Sunday. And Becca and Tim and I were talking about it this year. And you guys make this day so awesome for our students. And it would just not be the same if they sat and shared their story with their mentor or if they just even said it in the back. But by allowing us and embracing us and letting our students be part of the whole church body and loving on them this way, that's just such a great gift you give us. So I was like kind of the 12th man thing. You guys are the 12th man, confirmation class. So in addition to the truth about who God is, the other piece that's really important to us is learning to see God all the time. And all of you, I'm sure every one of you has kind of a life or death story, someone in your family, and you go, wow, God really saved us. He saved us in an accident, or he saved us here. And I hope, and I'm sure, that you don't have a lot of those life and death stories. Those should only happen a few times in your life. And so does that mean we don't notice God all the rest of the times? Because it kind of does. And so what we're really working on is how to see God all the time, in the mundane, in the regular, in the small, and not wait for a life and death thing. And so when we first bring that up at the beginning of the year, God story, look for God in your day. How did you see God in your day? Or in your week, and they all look like it. I have no idea what you're talking about. So this year we did something different, and we based it on the prayer of examine, which is an ancient prayer that you would, ancient time at the end of the day, to go through your day and think about where God was, how you saw him, or maybe where you missed him. And we had our students think of something in their week, something that was bad or beautiful or sad or funny or good. And then from that, tell that story. And then we took 30 seconds to tell the story. And then we took 30 seconds to go, how could God have been in that story? How could God have been in something bad or something beautiful or something sad or something funnier that was something good in our day? And start to see that every day we have those stories and every day God's in them, because he is. So we're going to take 1 minute, and you're going to find someone next to you, and you're going to share something from your day. And you got to share quick, because you only have 1 minute to share it and to see, kind of go, how is God in it? And there's no right or wrong answers. You know, God's actually all over your day. And you're just looking for ways to see it, and someone else may see something different. So that's what we're going to do. So think of something bad or beautiful or sad or funny or good that happened in this week or last week, and share it with the people around you. Right now, starting now, 1 minute. Go. All right, we're halfway through. Talk about how you saw God in that story.
We'll end on time. I know we're a little disjointed, but God's still here. He's dancing. Is he? That's cool.
All right. So this is one of the things that we have the eighth graders do is this exercise, and we do give them 30 seconds each to talk about it. And then as a group, we talk about how God could have been in it, and a lot of them start using this idea as basis for their God stories. So, but now that we've talked about how God has interacted with you this week and how you think you've seen him, you want to make sure that this matches what is true about God. Because just because, like we said, just because we think we saw God there, other people could be like, uh-huh, I'm sure you did. So we want to make sure that what we have seen about God matches what we know about God. So when we hear, when we see a God story in our life, we want to make sure that it matches with how God has interacted with us in the past, with our previous God stories. And then we want to make sure it matches with what other people have seen in their lives with God, which is why we share our God stories with each other. So I'm, oh, yeah, I've seen God do that in my life too. And we want to make sure it matches what we find in the Bible, because that's how God has revealed himself to us. And the Bible is just basically all God stories of times when people have seen God or haven't seen God in all sorts of situations. So at the first service, we had each of the teachers come up and share a story from the Bible that fit one of the categories, a bad story, a sad story, a funny story, a beautiful story, and a good story from the five teachers. But we don't want to do that to the children's ministry because we went way over last time. So we're kind of changing it up a bit, but I think it's still important. So if, can God be in these stories? So is there a funny story in the Bible? We told the story of Balaam and his donkey, right? Where this important man who's really good at finding out divine things is riding to curse the Israelites, and his donkey keeps, like, running him off the road and, like, into fences and, like, laying down. And he's like, what are you doing, donkey? We're late. Keeps beating the donkey. And eventually the donkey turns around and says, what is your problem? There's an angel in the middle of the road, and if I kept walking, it would cut your head off. And Balaam's like, why is my donkey talking? And why didn't I notice this in the first place? So there's funny stories in the Bible. What about, can God be in a sad story? We don't tell sad stories much. It's hard. We don't want to find God there. But the Bible's full of sad stories. And if you guys have been keeping up in the reading with the Pentateuch reading that we've been doing as a church, you'll know that there's kind of these hints throughout the Bible that are like, if you follow other gods, you will not be able to stay in the promised land. And the Israelites are like, yeah, yeah, whatever, whatever, it's fine. And they're like, no, really, this is going to go badly. And then it keeps going, and the prophets are like, no, really, listen, listen, this will go so badly. Follow God, don't go to other people. And they're like, yeah, uh-huh, that's cute. And eventually we know as readers that that's what happens, and the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah go into exile. And the enemies come, and they destroy the walls, and they crush the temple, and they burn the fields, and they kill the people, and they rip the families apart. The survivors are taken away from their homes to a place they don't know, a language they don't speak, a culture they don't understand, with nothing. Can God be in that story? Could we share a God story about this? They actually talk about how hard it is to share a God story here. In Psalms 137,
By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But they couldn't sing the songs of Zion because they were so sad. But was God there? The Israelites, like us, believe that he was, and the Bible answers that question for us in Lamentations. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Okay, so the last one that we're going to say is something good. And we have lots of good things in our lives, and the Bible has, but we tend to look for God in the scary things. And the story in the Bible that I wanted to share is that during Hezekiah's reign, they were going to be under siege, and they needed water in their city. So he and a lot of people diverted water, and they built a tunnel that was about 1,700 feet long through rock. And they started at two ends, and they met in the middle. And this was, you know, like, 500 BC. Thank you, biblical scholar. And so that was a huge thing. And I think sometimes when we do stuff like that, it's hard to notice God in that because we're just so excited about what we did and that it worked, you know. And so I want to go, in that story, God totally provided them the idea. He provided them the way to make the way through the rock. He provided them with workers, with engineering minds. God was all over that. And when you have things in your life that go really well, that you prepare for, like you did great on a test, or the presentation went well, or you did something within the business that, I'm totally not a business person, that worked really well, and we're like, wow, I did really good. Look for God, because he's there. That's why you did it so well, because he was there.
So in all of these, the confirmants have started looking in their lives for the mundane, for the good, for the sad, for the bad, where God was. And that's, a lot of them use this as the basis for their God stories. And so we encourage you, as you hear them share their God stories, to look at your own life in all of those moments to see if you can see where God has interacted with you in your lives.
Thanks so much. So my name is Tim Anderson. I'm the youth pastor here. And this is the moment that we've all been waiting for, and this is the moment that our students have all just been, like, trembling about, right? I mean, they're going to come up and they're going to share their stories with you. In the first service, we were just so blessed by what the students had to share, and something that we always tell them is that every person in the congregation on Confirmation Sunday is just your biggest fan, right? And that's absolutely true. We were just, like I said, we're so blessed by what they said in the first service, and we're really looking forward to hear what you have to say this morning. So let's get started. So I want to invite James Heumann up, and I want to invite his mentor and one of our, or actually I'm going to sit up here with you too. So let's give it up for James.
Hi, I'm James Heumann. I come from a family of six. I have a loving father and mother named Stefan and Hester Marie Heumann, and three brothers. I like to play soccer and hang out with my friends. I'm an eighth grader at Chief Canem. I am thankful for my life every day. I almost lost it 9 years ago on my sixth birthday. My parents told me to wait to open my present. I was disobedient, and instead of listening, I chose to open a present, leading to me cutting my wrist open with scissors. I fell to a similar temptation as Adam and Eve. I disobeyed. I was ashamed and hid from my parents. They came looking for me, and when they finally found me, they were very worried. My father tried to control the bleeding and got me to the hospital. I see a connection with God and my parents because they both love me and care for their children. Like a shepherd overlooking a flock, their flock, and guiding them in the right path. I saw God in the story because he looked over me and my family. I have been to the ER 4 times in my life, and God has given me and my parents strength every time. I thought of Genesis 3:21 because God wanted to cover Adam and Eve's sin, which reminded them of their cost and that they'll never be the same. The Lord made garments of skin for his wife and clothed them. I learned that disobedience comes with a cost, and I have a scar that reminds me that my mother and father will forgive, and God forgives us when we disobey. Thank you.
I'd like to invite Louis Heumann up, and his teacher from our class, and I was fortunate enough to be Louis's mentor as well. So give it up for Louis.
Good morning. My name is Louis. I live in Snoqualmie and am the oldest of four sons. My parents are originally from South Africa and moved here just before I was born. I feel blessed by God. My grandparents live in South Africa, and South Africa has been going through some tough times as a country. My grandparents, who were struggling with water and electricity shortages and soaring costs of living expenses. However, recently, they have started a guest house with some of their friends and can now afford more than just those necessities. They can also now afford to visit more often. I saw God in this story because he helped my grandparents in their tough times. Even when the government would cut off power and sometimes even their water supply, he provided a job for them and kept them safe and closer to home, and it paid better. The Bible verse I chose was Matthew 10:29-31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I chose this verse because it shows that God sees everyone the same and they are all worth the same in his eyes. I learned that God is always with us and provides for us in our time of need, even if we can't see his big plan for each of us. Thank you.
All right, I'd like to invite Zach Miller up as well. Let's give it up for Zach.
Good morning. My name is Zach Miller. I am 14 years old and an eighth grader at Twin Falls Middle School. The Bible verse I chose for myself is 1 Chronicles 16:34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his faithful love endures forever. I am thankful to the Lord for many things, but I think the biggest thing that I am thankful for is that he gave me the ability to sing and dance. I feel like I am myself when I am on stage singing and dancing. I am very fortunate that my parents are in the position to be able to send me to Institute, a village theater, because it gives me the opportunity to get better at the things that I love to do. When I am in a musical, I can leave behind all the other things that are happening and just forget about them to do what I love. Sometimes I feel like I want to quit because people give me a hard time, and sometimes they make fun of the general group of musical theater kids. I have felt that along with many of my friends, but I know that I cannot quit on this because I feel so passionate about it. I can even see myself pursuing a career in the acting business someday. God helps me through all of this when it gets hard and everything is rough, but his help gives me strength to keep going. It almost feels like he's pushing me towards this big goal of being an actor. And almost every day, I pray to God that I will be able to do what I love most for the rest of my life. I know God has a plan for me, and I know I will be led on the path that he makes for me. But I really hope that path leads to an acting career.
Okay, I want to invite Christy Lane up and her mentor and one of our teachers as well. Let's give it up for Christy.
You got this.
So, hello, my name is Christy Lane, and I have a mom named Cynthia Lane, and a sister named Carly Lane, and a dad named Tim Lane, and I am an eighth grader at Chief Kingdom Middle School. So, when I was trying to find something to do with my God story, when my sister just did confirmation, so that was when I was in sixth grade, nothing had happened, and I was like, well, because everything was going great, and then my mom got cancer, and cancer is a disease that has no cure. 38.5% of people are diagnosed with cancer. The average age to be diagnosed is about 65. At 65, the average number of close friends a person has is 12.5. That means 13.5 people on average will be affected by a diagnosis, and I'm one of those people. My mom was diagnosed at age 50 with breast cancer, category 1A. The first thing I did when I found out was I told my friends Gracie and Ashley. My mom didn't know how bad it was, so we prayed. We prayed twice a day every day as soon as we got the results back. The first result is kind of a warning. You aren't quite sure exactly what's going to happen from the first result. You can't even tell 100% from the second test. The first time I cried, is when I told my friend Gracie. As soon as I told her, she dropped the phone and started crying, and I didn't really know what to do because she never cries. I just kind of stood there and looked at the phone very confused and concerned, and then I started to cry. I knew my mom was strong enough physically, but I didn't know if she was strong enough mentally. The first day she went in for a cancer scan, she didn't do very well. She cried and had a panic attack, but the next time she went in with my dad and everything went fine. When you're getting an MRI for breast cancer, you have to lay on your back. But when you have breast cancer, you have to lay on your stomach, which makes it a little bit more difficult to breathe. That's the same reason that you can't leave a baby on its stomach to sleep. She was quite anxious, but then after that, everything was fine. Everything went well. All the radiation went fine. I saw God in this, in the fact that we found the cancer at stage 1A, and that's the earliest stage of cancer, I believe. She will most likely never get cancer again because she is on a medicine that makes it so that you can't really get cancer anymore, or it prevents it. And at age 50, she had a big age advantage to fighting the cancer, so she most likely will never get it again. So the Bible verse that I found was Psalms 18:2, and it's, "My Lord, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." So yeah, that's my God story.
I'd like to invite Carolee McCarty and her mentor and a teacher from the class. Let's give it up for Carolee.
Okay, so I am really scared right now, so forgive me if I mess up. Hi, I'm Carolee McCarty, and I am an eighth grader at Chief Cannon Middle School. I like art, play the clarinet, and in volleyball. I chose to do confirmation to help me see God more in my life, and it has. Since I was looking for him, I have noticed all the ways that he has helped me in the last year. This made me realize that God is always there. All you have to do is look for him. Last summer, my family and some family friends went camping at Lake Wenatchee. Our campsite was right on the lake, and we brought lots of boats. The beach by our campsite had a bay that blocked the wind, where lots of kids were allowed to play around in but not go out without an adult with them. One evening, while my parents were cooking dinner, and the kids were trying to catch chipmunks, which are actually pretty gullible when there were peanuts involved, my little brother Elijah decided to go on a boat ride. He got into our two-person inflatable kayak without a life jacket and boated out of the bay into the five-mile-long lake. Now, if any of you have been to Lake Wenatchee, you'll know that in the middle of the lake, on a windy day, the waves are really big. Elijah was not strong enough to paddle the boat in the waves and soon lost control. It was not until we heard him yelling for help as he was swept farther and farther down the lake did we realize he had left. My parents were terrified and immediately started running through the bushes to reach him. On the way, my dad ran through a campsite and got bitten on the back by a protective German shepherd. When they got to what they thought was close enough to Elijah, they took off swimming. My dad was weighed down by his heavy hiking boots and the bite on his back and had to turn around. My mom, on the other hand, kept swimming, determined to reach Elijah. But Elijah's boat was drifting farther and farther down the lake, away from my mom. Meanwhile, back at the camp, I was extremely worried for Elijah, knowing he couldn't swim very well, and for my parents, who were swimming far out into the freezing cold lake. My neighbor, who was camping with us, noticed this and got into another boat to try to get Elijah. I started to pray, begging God to help Elijah and my parents get safely back to shore. Once I looked up from my frantic prayers, I saw Elijah's boat turn straight to shore and him paddle expertly to the beach, where my parents were waiting. My neighbor Sue met them afterwards. I ran down the road with towels in my hand for my mom and dad, glad they were all safe. This time reminds me of verse Luke 8:24. Disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." He got up and rebuked the winds and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. This experience was easy to see how God was in my life and how he saved Elijah. But God isn't only there in the big, scary moments. He's always there in the small, less life-threatening times. This year, during midwinter break, my family flew to New York City to visit some relatives. We had a nonstop flight with all my family seats in the same row and two window seats. Somehow, our seats got messed up, and my mom was separated from my brother and I. And a man we didn't know had the window seat. I was kind of bummed that we didn't get a seat by the window, but I knew I'd survive. The man next to us noticed this and kindly offered to switch spots with my mom. I eagerly agreed and thanked him, but didn't think much of it at the time. Later, I realized that God had worked through him to help me get the seat by the window, even though I didn't really need it. This relates to verse Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. God is all. He helped me in both of these situations and many others too. God is always there helping us. All we need to do is seek him and we will find him. The final thing I have to say is Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Thank you.
All right. Let's hear it for all of our students. That was really good. All right, so if you guys want to come back up, James and Louie, Zach, Carolee, and Christy, we're going to do the rite of confirmation now, so you can come up and stand up here, and Pastor Dan will lead you in this next part.
All right, and now comes the really, really nerve-wracking stuff. Not true. All you have to do is say, "I do." We're going to ask you to take some vows, and vows are living words. So at milestone moments like this and others, I'm sure many of you watched the royal wedding yesterday. I did. There's important vows that are taken. These are words that we try and lean into, to live into. And so as confirmands, these vows will be an expression of your faith and commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So do you confess a personal faith in Jesus Christ and desire with God's help to be his disciple? If this is your wish, please say, "I do." Do you believe with the Church of Jesus Christ that the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments, is the Word of God, telling the story of God and God's people in the past and guiding them today? If this is so, please say, "I do." And as you continue in your life, do you intend to keep worshiping in Christ's church, listening to his word, and responding to his call? If this is so, please say, "I do." So be it, according to your faith. And now I'm going to ask all of you to rise and take a look at the screen. And confirmands, you can turn around and look too, because we're going to be doing this together as the body of Christ. And as part of this rite of confirmation, I want all of us to recite an ancient creed, the Apostles' Creed, and this is something that our confirmands have studied as an affirmation of their faith. And so please respond from the creed as questions I ask about your belief in each person of the Trinity. Do you believe in God? And all together we'll say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth." Do you believe in Jesus Christ? "I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead." And lastly, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Okay, you can have a seat. And confirmands, I'm going to invite you to stand in front of the stage here. And families, if you want to come up and lay hands on them, we're going to take a moment to pray for them. So families, come on forward right now. All right, let's take a moment and pray. God, what a blessing it is to hear how you have shown up in the lives of these students. Lord, we're so thankful for how you've worked in Carol Lee's life, in Christy's life, in Zach's life, and in James and Louis's life, and for all the rest of our confirmants, but not just for them, but in all of our lives. God, this morning, I just pray that you would be with each one of these five students, that you would encourage them, that you would challenge them to take new steps of faith, to take new steps in growing and becoming the people that you've made them to be. Lord, that you would remind them how much you love them each and every day. Lord, we do not know what their next steps are. We do not know the plans that you have for them, but what we do know is that you are good. God, that you love each and every one of them, and that they are all your children. So, Lord, this morning we celebrate with them, we celebrate with their families that they have put their trust in you, Jesus. What a good gift it is to see what you are doing, to hear their faith, Lord, and to celebrate together as one congregation. So, Lord, I just pray your blessing on these students now. Lord, that you would continue to be with them. Lord, that you would be gracious to them, that you would be with them each step of the way. Thank you so much for all that you do. And we pray, amen. These are your 2018 confirmands. Let's give it up for them. So I'm going to invite you all to stand, and we're going to say the blessing that we say at the end of every confirmation class. This is a special benediction, so join me as we close out our time together. You are God's servants, gifted with dreams and visions. Upon you rests the grace of God like flames of fire. Love and serve the Lord in the strength of the Spirit. May the deep peace of Christ be with you, the strong arms of God sustain you, and the power of the Holy Spirit strengthen you in every way. Amen. Go in peace.